Psalms chapter number 37. You ought to familiarize yourself with this chapter. It is absolutely loaded with practical truths and blessings. I'm looking into verse 23. The Bible says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Again, reading verse 23, "The steps of a good man." Our focus this morning is upon the good man. But not just anybody is a good man. Not just any man is a good man. The Bible clarifies in this verse as to who the good man is. It is the person, the man, that God orders his steps. That is the qualification. That's what brings a good man to that character or to that status of a good man. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. I believe that it could be said this morning that every father in this place, every man in this place, should want to be a good man. I don't know of a man, never met a man, I don't think, that would say, "I don't really care about being a good man." I've never met a husband that would make that statement. "I don't want to be a good man." I've never met a father that would make such a statement. "I don't want to be a good man." Any man on planet Earth surely would want to be a good man. We've heard it said many times in funerals, they were a good man. We've heard people talk about the husband or the father in the home that is a good man. And I believe that would be something admirable. I believe that's something that you and I, as men, as fathers, would want to have as a testimony that we are a good man. Well, the Bible here tells us how that we can be a good man. You know, used to that a good man was described by someone that paid the bills at the house, and thank God for that. A good man used to be referred to as the daddy in the house or the husband in the house that was faithful to the wife and faithful in the home. And there are a lot of other descriptions that could go with that. But the world has so redefined what a man is that I don't even think a lot of men have a clue what a good man is really about. Amen. Surely we're not going to allow the world to tell us what a good man is. Would there be any of us here this morning be so foolish to allow the world and its agenda and its system to define manhood, to define fatherhood? They don't even know what a man is. This world don't even know what a man is, literally from a gender perspective. You think they are qualified, this world system? Do you think they're qualified to step up and write a book or give a speech about what a good man consists of? I say not. Listen, we should never have a listening ear to what the world would say this is a requirement for what a good man is. Because you don't even have to be a man to be a man in this world's view. And it's a wicked day. You'd have to agree with that. It's a perilous day, a wicked day. But a good man to this world could be very foreign to the Scripture. Amen? But we have the guideline for what a good man is. A good man, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And can I just put a concise statement right here? God never orders anybody's steps that are going to go contrary to this book right here. Amen. There are people that are being under the influence and impression that such and such is the will of God. I was talking to a pastor recently, and he told me that a lady come up to him and who's openly, listen now, I'm telling you how weird people's thought life is, even church-going people. And he told me this, that she was having an affair, listen, with a married man, and she had the audacity to tell this preacher that I believe this is God's will for my life. This is what he told me that this lady told him, said, I found him. I found the one I'm supposed to have. This is the one. He said, I'll tell you right now, you're fooling around with a married man. I'm going to tell you, you're not even in the ballpark of knowing God's will. But she was convinced of that. Here's our guide. If it's left up to opinions, we've all got them, several of them. Someone said opinions a lot of times are like armpits. You have at least two and both of them stinks. We can't go off of opinions about what a good man is. Amen? Because the world can give and others can give. People can give all kinds of definitions about what a good man is. But why not let us just look this verse in our eyes this morning and come to the grips of the definition of a good man is one whose steps are ordered by the Lord. Amen. I believe that's right. Sin will never make you a good man. Sin never makes a good man out of any man. In fact, sin will take a good man and make him a bad man. Sin wrecks, ruins, destroys anything and everything and everybody that it puts its fingerprints on. So this world and its agenda can never be a friend to the family, never be a friend to the home, never be a friend to marriage. God's Word sets the standard. I want us to look at this, if you would, with me in this verse of Scripture this morning. These are just some things the Lord was speaking to my heart about as I was mowing my yard. That's a good time to meditate and a good time to think. Just God began to speak to my heart, and I began to, I've just got a little note thing on my phone, and I began to just put some things in as God began to speak to my heart about this verse of Scripture. And it's important as a father, it's important that you allow God to order your steps. Why? Because there's others following your steps. Father's in the home, your wife is following your steps if she's where she's supposed to be spiritually. I know that's not popular in our day, but it is still scriptural. So why the pressure is on me as a father to allow God to order my steps and for me to walk therein. Why? Because I'm going to be given account for my family. You've not only got your wife following your footsteps, but you also, if you have children, they're following your footsteps. And they're going to learn a lot more by what they see than from what they hear. And it's so important that you and I allow God to order our steps. There's Bible examples in the Scripture of men who allowed God to do that. I believe one that stands out greatly is Abraham. God called him out there of the Chaldees and ordered his steps and directed his path. And my, look how the Lord blessed that. Look how the Lord used that. And it, amen. And he set a pattern there. God's best is always going to be involved in his ordering of your steps. And you know what Abraham did according to Genesis 18 and verse number 19? The Bible said about Abraham, whom God had ordered his steps. It doesn't say that, those words, but we can see in his life that God did lead him. God ordered his steps and led him along. But the Bible said in Genesis 18:19 that Abraham will command his children after him. Why is it so important for me to let God order my steps as a father? Is so that I can in return say to my children how that they should do. Say to a child how they should live. Why? Because if it's right for daddy, it's right for junior. It's right for the household if it's right for daddy. Oh, yes, it's in the bulletin, Joshua 24, 15, Joshua stood up to a whole nation and he said, basically, if you're going to serve the other gods, do whatever. But he said, I'm going to tell you, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. You know what that means? We're going to let God direct us. We're going to let God lead us into what He wants us to do. But as I begin to think about that statement, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And by the way, the term good man is used other places in the Scripture. In fact, if you go to the New Testament, it's not two words as it is in our text. It's actually one word. It's all grouped together, good man. And a good place to look at is, Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter number 24, the Bible talks about the good man, referring to the head of the house, the father of the house, the daddy of the house, if you will. And Matthew 24, 43, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known and what watched, the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. So right there, the daddy in the house, the head of the house, the leader in the house is here called a good man. And one great quality that is seen in that verse is that he is a protector. He is one that protects his family. If he knew when the thief was going to come, if he knew what hour that he was going to come, he would have not allowed his home to be broken into. So we as fathers can pay attention to the title of a good man, the good man. And let me give you this to think about. The first thing that stuck out to me as I was meditating on this statement, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The first thing I see here is the attention of the Lord. It did not say the life of a good man. It didn't say the years of a good man. It didn't say the months of a good man or the weeks of a good man or even the days of a good man. It said the steps of a good man. That statement there lets me know that the Lord of glory, the God of heaven, has His focus on my each and every step. Now you think about that. The God of heaven, the creator of all, has got His eye on my little steps. That tells me something about His attention. That He's looking at particulars. Steps identifies each one of them. Steps identifies all of them. That God is looking for at each step. And He has a plan for each step. He has an order for each step. Oh, I think sometimes we act at least as if God is not looking in our direction. We act at least that God is not aware of how we're living. If He identifies my steps and His focus and His attention is on my steps, listen, I promise you He knows what's going on in my life. Amen. God is concerned about details in my life. He's not just looking at my life in general. He's looking at my life in particular. He's looking at my life in the area of particulars and detail. In fact, He's looking at each and every step, His attention. If you walk, someone said this, I looked it up. The average person has a step stride of anywhere from 2.1 feet to 2.5 feet a stride. And if that is the case, then 5,000, if you walk 5,000 steps per day, that's how many you do. If you get anywhere from 5,000 to 7,000 steps per day, if you measure that stride through a course of a day's activity. The attention of the Lord, Brother Scott, is on every one of those. The steps of a good man. Now, if you're not interested in being a good man, if you're not interested in being a good father and a good dad and all that and a good husband, then it really is not going to mean much to you. But to know that God is interested in each and every step that I take He's ordering that. He's directing that. He's having his way in that. The average goal for most people in athletics, far as just, I guess you got your little Fitbits and all that stuff, you know, is 10,000 steps a day. 10,000, that's what this report said, 10,000 steps a day. And a lot of health benefits that come with walking, right? Say amen right there. A lot of good health benefits. But if God's ordering my steps, there's a lot of spiritual health benefits. Now, the Lord spoke to me about this while I was mowing. Listen to this. When you think about our steps, that it references my practical life, my everyday life. God's interested in my practical life. Him ordering my steps is the spiritual part. So you have the practical part, my steps. Then you have him ordering my steps. That's the spiritual part. And this verse really shows us that those two should never be separated. You know what's wrong in our churches and what's wrong in our homes and our family and our nation? You know what's wrong? We've separated the practical from the spiritual. We've allowed our practical life to be one direction and one thing, and then our spiritual life to be something else. But this verse, our text verse this morning, my friend, shows that God is wanting to insert his spiritual and scriptural and divine influence into your practical everyday step. I believe we'd have revival if we'd get back to that. I believe we could see a move of God if we'd get back to that. Most people, they come to church, they take their practical life and unplug it from whatever their life had been all week and try to plug into a church life. And you can't do that. It don't happen. Your practical everyday life, which consists of your steps, God says he wants to order that. God says, I want to have control. I want to have influence. I want to have leadership in your everyday life. Where's the believer? Where is the believer that would be so low as to tell God, thank you for saving my soul and going to take me to heaven one day, but you're not having any control in my steps? The attention of the Lord, as I see here. A second thing, and some of these are just going to be real brief, but the second thing that stuck out to me as I thought on that statement, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, I see secondly the association of the Lord. The Lord of glory, the God of heaven, is associating himself. Listen to this. He is involving himself in my steps. And you know what? I want him to. You listen, I thought about this. When the Bible said in Genesis and also in Hebrews that Enoch walked with God, that Enoch pleased God. I believe Enoch walking with God is God ordering his steps, God leading in his steps, God associating himself, involving himself. Think about that. We spend time trying to get God involved in my struggles. Why don't we just let God be involved in my steps? And if my steps go through the fire, he'll be there. If my steps go through the valley, he'll be there. If my steps, I'm talking about if he is ordering my steps, if he is involved in my steps, if he is interested in my steps, then no matter what I face, he's there. I'm glad that David didn't have to get right with God before he faced Goliath. You know why? That was a young man that God was ordering his steps. And when the situation of Goliath appeared, and it did, he didn't go there to fight. He didn't go there for that. He just went there to check on his brethren because his daddy sent him up there with some food. Amen. But when he heard Goliath defying the armies of the living God, he made it his business to do something about it. I'm glad he didn't have to take a week and get right with God. I'm glad he didn't have to take a while and pray and say, oh God, where are you? No, God was involved in his steps. of his daily practical life. And so when there was a time needed, an urgent time for him to be a giant killer, he was ready. He was ready. I'll say unto you again that God in this verse states and shows that he is associated with your steps. He is involved and interested in your steps. Amen? I like that. The third thing I want to mention, a lot of people is going, this is where we get off of it right here. This is where most people jump ship right here. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Yes, it speaks that his attention is on our steps. The Lord's association is with us in our steps. But thirdly, I see in that statement the authority of the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, showing clearly that the Lord is in a position to where he can order those steps. The authority of the Lord. He's not just to be your Lord, but he's to Lord over you. Amen? He's not just to be Lord to me, he's to be Lord over me. He's to be Lord through me. Do you see that? The steps of a good man are ordered by who? The Lord. Amen? The boss, the master. None above him. Amen? Oh, he doesn't have any right. Oh, yes. If you're saved, he owns you. Amen. That's been brought out in Sunday school this morning. If you are saved, you belong to him. He purchased you with a great price, I might add. Oh, yes, he has authority in your life. Amen. You're bought with a price, but you're not servants of men. We belong to the Lord, but do we live like it? Do we act like it? Do we allow him to have, listen, The steps of a good man, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Is he Lord of every step that I take? Does my each and every step show and bring attention to the fact that Jesus is my Lord? The answer to that for me is no. And I can help you with your answer if you want me to. We're all failing in that area. Listen, I said it in that first point. God's attention is on my steps. That meant each one of them, all of them. His attention is on my steps. How much attention do I give to my steps? Each step, is this step for the Lord? Is the Lord having his way in that step? Next step, is this going in a Christ-honoring direction? Is this step going to carry me down a path of righteousness? Or is it going to take me in the path of worldliness? Are we conscious of our each and every day? The Bible said, redeem the time. Redeeming the time for why? The days are evil. Redeeming the time. Pay attention to the time. Look at what's going on. I'm afraid that we're so guilty of wasting a lot of our life. We're so guilty of wasting a lot of our time. Amen. Pay attention to details. Every moment. You know, God wants to be working in your life every step and every moment and of every day. God wants to be working in your life and through your life. But there is the authority of the Lord that is so clearly seen in that he is in a position that he can order the steps. And he does so without asking. He should never have to ask a believer of his, would it be all right? Can I lead you? No, we should be able to say, Lord, you saved me, you purchased my soul in redemption. Whatever you want, you can have. So there's the authority of the Lord that is seen in that statement. And of course, this one's very simple and it's very easy to see here. There is the arrangement of the Lord in that statement. The arrangement of the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And that word order means to establish, to set up, to appoint, to fashion, to make ready, to make, to be fitted, to be erect, to stand perpendicular. And I thought, why is that in that definition? To stand perpendicular. Now, so I began to think about perpendicular. What a perpendicular is, that is, it's vertical. When everything around it is horizontal. So that definition alone tells me that when God orders your path, He wants you to be different. This world is on a horizontal plane. They're not interested in getting to God. They're not interested in any vertical direction to God. They're only interested in being impressive to their fellow man and being popular with their fellow man. But I want to tell you, God says, if I can get a good man to let me order his steps, amen, and arrange his steps, it will cause that man to stand up when everybody else is bowing down. It'll cause that man to be opposite to those around him. Did that bring back a Bible story? Did that bring up in your mind a Bible story? How many of you say yes right there? Three or four of you? What about the three Hebrew boys in the book of Daniel? Huh? God was ordering their steps. They were willing to follow the Lord. They were willing to, and had already committed their life to the Lord. And you know the decree that had been established that if anybody is caught bowing down to or praying to any other god, they're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. When you hear the music, everybody bowed down except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Every one of them bowed down except those three, and they kept standing when everybody else was bowing. You know why? God was ordering their steps, and it caused them to stand erect. It caused them to stand perpendicular to the ground, amen. It caused them to be different. It caused them to be opposite. You can't find people that are interested in that in our day. Conformity is the day's word. Churches, instead of being what God wants it to be, they're more interested in trying to conform their worship and conform their churches to being more like the worldly entertainments. And amen. Listen. I watched a fellow talk about. They were going to have a big day today, and they're going to be raising money today, and they're hoping to get so many thousands of dollars today because in their children's church, they're wanting to build this ginormous inside playground. And they showed pictures of it. Now listen, I'm not against playground, but in church, taking the place of church, and while worship's going on, they're out there climbing stuff and all of that. Listen, that's what the world wants. They're running big numbers. That's what people are after. They don't want to see no difference. Come on now. They don't want to see no difference than going to the movie theater on Saturday night and sitting on a church pew on Sunday morning. They don't want to see no difference of their worldly activities, their worldly involvements, and then come to church and hear preaching. They don't want that. They want that similarity. Amen. Well, I just thought I'd tell you, that ain't happening. That's not happening. I mean, I don't care if I'm going to go play. I'm going to go find a playground. I'm going to go somewhere it's designated. But when we come to church, church is what we're supposed to be doing. Amen, that's right. That's right. There's the arrangement, the ordering of, the establishing, the appointing. God has that authority again to appoint into your life. Oh, don't raise your hand, but I wonder how many in here today is on a level of submission to the Lord that He can do that, that He can arrange your life, that He can tell you stop doing this, or He can tell you start doing this. He can appoint. Amen. Just appoint it, fashion it, set it up. Amen. Make it ready, make it fitting. I'll tell you, I want that arrangement in my life. And sometimes things happen in your life that you'd thought, what is going on? There's a rearranging, there's a mixing, and the devil will do that, and the devil can do that even believers' lives. But I tell you, I want to have an element of submission in my heart that says, Lord, I don't know what, But I know this, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. Amen. So there's the arrangement. And then next, there's got to be, and I've already kind of preached on a little bit, there's got to be the acceptance of the Lord. That is, there's got to be the person, the good man. Listen, this good man here is not a robot. This good man in the text is not a person that is just manipulated and controlled by the Lord against his will. Every man has a free will. Every daddy has a free will. Every individual has a free will. There's got to be a yes factor to the Lord arranging and setting up and establishing in your life his will and his direction. Amen. You think about it. I wonder how many young people really, really consults the Lord over their future mate. That's a good question. Don't you think that's a good question? I promise you. Marriage is tough even in the will of God. And amen, you marry out of the will of God and you're just asking for trouble. But listen to this. You think about this. God knows who you need to marry. And I tell you what, parents, would be good for you. Even though your children may be little toddlers, it wouldn't hurt for you to be praying right now that God would be working in that boy or that girl, wherever she is and whoever they are. Amen. Begin working in their heart as a child, and God work in their heart that they'd get saved at an early age and that they would surrender their life at an early age. And when it's time for that person and my daughter or son to meet, then they will already be spiritual. You can't wait till the courting date starts to try to find a level of spirituality. That don't work. Amen. And you young people, this is just, I know it's Father's Day, but let me give you a little insert right here. You young people ought to know what that Bible teaches, which that's what the ordered steps of the Lord is coming from in our life, is the Word of God. God's not going to lead contrary to the Word. If it's in the Word, God's leading according to the Word. You young people that's going to be looking for a mate in the future, you ought to already know in your heart and in your mind the steps that you are not going to take and the steps that you are going to take biblically concerning a relationship. And don't compromise it. I don't care how good they look or how pretty she is. It doesn't matter. It don't matter. Amen. Are y'all still with me this morning? Hey, it don't matter. What does a book say? Well, they're lost, preacher. They're not saved. But we get along good. That's a bad testimony on your part. You claim to be saved and you claim to be liked, amen, and you're getting along really, really well with a lost person and considering even, actually falling in love with that person and having a future with that person and they don't even know God. You know what you're doing? You're arranging your own steps. You're setting up your own steps against what the Scripture says. Amen. You ought to have in your mind, girls and boys both in here, you ought to have in your mind and your heart as a conviction what the Bible says about even the qualifications of a mate. I don't care if they claim to be spiritual or not. It doesn't make a bit of difference if they claim to be spiritual if their life doesn't prove it. If they don't have the fruit in their life that would confirm and have a testimony before you ever even came in the picture, they had a testimony, they loved God and served God and lived for the Lord. I wouldn't even give them your phone number. Amen. That's right. If they don't have a job, it don't matter if they're saved or not. Girls, you ought to have that established. Amen. If they don't have a job, and listen, you'll just go ahead and tell them, I ain't keeping your hide up. Amen. He won't lay around on the couch and play Nintendo and Mario and all the other games while you go work and slay. You ought to go and say, Not happening. Amen? Don't even date a bum. Don't even give them your phone number. That's right. I'm trying to help your daddies out right here. Amen? That's right. That's right. On the first time they show interest, daddies take them out and show them that you got some guns and know how to shoot and that you're accurate. And every time you hit the target, say, did you see that? I can hit what I'm shooting at. Put the fear of God in them, amen. That's right. You say, but they'll be 40 by the time they're married, so? That's right. But I don't know how I got on that. But there's got to be that open willingness for God to order your steps. That's how I got on it. Are you willing to let God do that? Are you willing to let God make changes? Are you willing to let God direct you step by step? And listen, I believe that. I believe that indicates, you know, our first point was talking about His attention to our steps. But that ought to cause us to have attention toward Him in our every step. We ought to live daily with a God consciousness. We ought to live moment by moment, step by step, with a God consciousness. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. Do you think there was a step in his life that he was not God conscious? Absolutely not. Well, anyway, there's got to be the acceptance of it. And then last, there will be the advancement of the Lord that's involved in that statement. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Steps is how I move. Steps is my motion. Steps is my momentum. Steps is my forwardness. Steps is my progress. As I allow God, listen, God's not ordering the steps of a father and of a daddy or of a Christian to where you're stagnant or else going in reverse. God is ordering the steps of those who are interested in advancing and progressing in God's will and purpose for your life. Amen. And fathers, let me say something to us. You're responsible for that. I'm trying to help your family. I'm trying to help your home as best I can, as limited as I can. My pastoring or preaching, I'm trying to help you. But I want to tell you what, the pastor will never take the place of daddy. Are y'all listening? And I'm not trying to. I'm not wanting to be your daddy. I'm not trying to replace your daddy or take the place of your daddy. I'm trying to provide the pastor part of it. And if we could get the pastor and parents to work together, no telling what could happen. No telling what could happen. Amen. But I'm interested in watching you as a father go forward. Is that the direction the devil wants you to go in? Does he want you to progress? Does he want you to advance? Does he want you to go to deeper depths and higher heights? Does he want that? No. He wants you to go in reverse. He wants you to quit. He wants you to throw in the towel. And listen, daddies all over the country are doing that. There are fathers, walking away from their families. They're throwing in the towel. The devil's attack is on leadership. The devil's attack is on governmental leadership. Upon the leadership of the home. Upon leadership in the church. There's preachers that are throwing in the towel and quitting. The pressure is enormous. Are y'all listening? Fathers, I want you to go forward. I don't know how many of you believe that or not, but I'm for you. I am. I'm for you. I am for the Lord ordering your steps to where you'll be the good man in the house and how many knows that used to daddy was the role model? Did you know that the fathers were the first superhero? When children were born, they didn't know nothing about Superman and Spider-Man and all those others. They thought Daddy was it. They thought Daddy could leap buildings with a leap. They thought that he could see through walls and he, you know. But are daddies the heroes now? Spiritually? This whole verse in our, that we're looking at is a spiritual context. There's nothing wrong. Listen, fathers, I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. In fact, I encourage you to play with your kids. Play ball with them. Get them out in the yard. Rough them up. Hey, man. You should never want a boy that's got a crooked little finger and a limp wrist. Hey, man. I've been trying to train some of these boys up around here on how to shake hands. I have. I need some help on that. All the adult men in here, every time you shake hands with one of these young boys around here, and it's like shaking hands with a little limp-wristed noodle back something, tells, hey, shake my hand. I want to feel the grip, amen. I want to see you. Grip it so hard that even the preacher starts going, amen. Teach them to be a man. Teach them to, amen. That's right. There ain't nothing wrong with that. There ain't nothing wrong with that, but that'll never take the place of your spiritual life. Amen. If you can hit a ball across the fence in the other county's field, I don't care. What's going to make most difference in your children is that you be a spiritual good man, and it's evident that the Lord is ordering your steps in the home. Amen. Listen, fathers, can I ask you a question? I wonder how many fathers in here, your wife has got confidence in you. In light of our text, your wife has got confidence in you to where they really believe. They may not ever admit it, but they believe that you're trying to follow God, that you're trying to pray about things, that you're wanting really God's will for your life. Amen? I want that. I want that because that's what I want. That's what I want. I want God's will for my home. I want God's will. Amen. That's why I'm in Rogersville, is that God led us. God arranged that. God ordered those steps to be here. And this month, first message I preached here this month was 26 years ago. Actually, next Sunday. No, not next Sunday. Actually, is today the third Sunday? Is today the third Sunday of June? Help me out right there. Today, 26 years ago, the third Sunday of June is when I preached my first message. What about that now? Here. That wasn't when I became the pastor. That was September. But God put us here. Brother Carroll, how y'all went to Greenwood? I didn't know nothing about all of that. I didn't know nothing about y'all. Didn't know nothing about Rogersville. But God was ordering those steps before I even got into the stepping in it. God was up ahead of me. Just like Joseph in Genesis, he told his brethren, he said, I know you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And he said, he just sent me ahead of you to preserve life. You thought you was doing me harm, but really you was advancing me. God was taking me somewhere. Oh my. And when it was time, Brother Scott, y'all heard me tell this, when it was time this church needed a pastor, Brother Carroll and his family was in Greenwood, South Carolina, job-related move. Just so happened they were going to my Uncle Joe's church at that time. He said, was that just a happenstance? No. And then I preached there. God saved me, and I surrendered to preach, and I preached there numerous times. And amazingly, Miss Paula Sue recommended me to her daddy, Brother Paul, that was here at the church here, and that's how that connection was made. Brother Carroll, how long were y'all in Greenwood, approximately? 9 years. What about that? I don't want y'all to get excited about that. But God was working ahead of time to be on time, that when it was my time, he already did the time and it worked. Boy, I'm glad we can trust him. I don't know a lot of times when he's ordering my steps what he's doing. I don't know what he's doing, when he's doing it, how he's doing it, and he don't owe me an explanation. But I tell you what I can do. I can furnish the surrender part. I can furnish the submission part and say, Lord, whatever you're doing, whatever you're wanting, whatever how you're leading, praise God, I'm willing to follow that. And then trust him with it. Amen. The daddy's, the father's here. The greatest thing you can give your children, listen. The greatest thing you can give your children is a godly, spiritual, well, first, let me back up. A saved, godly, spiritual father that God is ordering their steps in life. It's the greatest thing you can give your children. Amen. I mean, listen, you can do all of the extra things, and I'm not against that. Recommend it. Trying to build memories with your children, I think you ought to do that. I think they ought to be able to, when you ask them what their favorite memory is concerning their daddy, they shouldn't have to sit around and try to think for 2 hours to try to think of one. Their struggle should be which one? Which memory? I've got a lot of memories. Amen. I'm not going to ask for you to tell it, but Miss Caden, if I were to ask you, do you have a lot of memories? Do you have some favorite memories? How about you? You got some favorite memories with your daddy? Probably several. Probably not just one. Probably several. I recommend that. Don't misunderstand me. I want you to do that. I believe that God wants you to do that. To interact and socialize with your kids. Amen. Fathers, listen. You interacting with your children is going to, to your boys, it's going to teach them how to be a good man one day who God will order their steps. And your daughters, I tell you what it's going to do, your daughters, it's going to teach them to what to look for when it's time for them to look for a man. Amen. So there's a lot of benefits there. Oh, yes. Well, anyway, that was what I wanted to give you this morning, what the Lord wanted me to give you. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And God is interested in my steps. I cannot get over that. God is interested in my each and every step that I take. But do I want to use each and every step for God's glory? Now the word step, I didn't get to that, but the word step, or steps rather, it does identify my physical steps, representing my practical life. But also that word steps also includes stages, phases. A book is not of one chapter. A book usually consists of several chapters. Steps are chapters. Steps are phases. Steps are levels, if you will. God is interested in taking you from one step to another step to another step. He's wanting to take you further and further. And I'm amazed and I'm alarmed as well how many people in church today that's been saved for years and are not growing. You know, Hebrews chapter 5 and 6 really deals heavily with spiritual maturity and spiritual growth. Amen. Spiritual progress. If there's the lack of that, could we ask this question? If there's a lack of spiritual growth, spiritual advancement, spiritual progress, is that a life that God is ordering their steps? I'd say not. May the Lord help the fathers. I know we talked about on Mother's Day the importance of mothers, and we cannot exaggerate that. But I want to tell you, God made the man, established that man to be the head of the house, the leader, the spiritual high priest in that home. The responsibility falls on the fathers for that to be in your house, for your home to be going in a spiritual direction. And again, the proposed question of earlier in the service, if that is expected of me, that's my responsibility, then I'm going to be given account of that one day. May the Lord help us. I want him to order my steps. And if that's what it takes for me to be a good man in God's eyes, we're not talking about salvation here. I know there's none good, no, not one. These steps don't make you good. As far as in God's eyes and gain merit, there's no merit with goodness. Goodness has no grace merits, none. I got saved because Jesus was good for me. Jesus was good in my place. Jesus satisfied the law in my place. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I can't stress the importance of that. Let's pray. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name. Ask God that you'd take the message, Lord, that you stirred my heart about. And these simple thoughts, Lord, that you stirred my heart about. And Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name that you will help me as a father. Help me, Lord, as a pastor. Help me, Lord, to preach and encourage and instruct and try to help daddies be what you need them to be. Lord, we're losing this generation. And I believe Brother Kyle had it right earlier in the Sunday school hour, that the parents are dropping the ball of teaching and exhibiting to their children what this text that we preached from this morning has to say. And Lord, you went on to say there in that same verse that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and then you said, and he delighteth in his way. And that he there, Lord, is the good man. There will be a delight in the good man's heart who allows God, submits to God, to control and lead and establish and set up and appoint their steps. He will delight in it. There will be a delight, a pleasure that comes. And Lord, it's not just going to be on the part of the good man as he walks in those steps. But I also believe that delight could also be you. You, Lord, will be delighted in your heart. You'll be delighted with pleasure as you watch people follow your lead, walk in the steps that you've ordered. Lord, help the fathers to realize that what responsibility they have, what accountability they're going to have, where their future, where their children are going to be spiritually and in many other ways in the future rests heavily in the home life. Please, Lord, I pray, help us, help me. Your will be done in this invitation in Jesus' name.